Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters. You are listening to Mud Toe at Midnight, and I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. A long-time listeners will recognize the sound and feel of the cell phone-based show. And we'll also remember that means that I am staying with my aged parents tonight. And so I don't have access to my computer, which is at home. Therefore, I am doing the show from my phone, and I'm also speaking in low tones so that I don't wake anybody up. So hopefully that will not be an impediment to our enjoyment of our time together this evening. For those of you who have not listened to the show before, I am an adopted member of a Native American circle, actually should more properly say oh my goodness, the past midnight disease already hits. It's a circle of Native American spirituality. It promotes Native American spirituality. It's a revealed spirituality. The leader of the circle had a vision and is teaching that vision to other people as they ask to be taught. And I have asked to be taught, and it's been revealed that I am a healer of society and that my modality is the written and spoken word, which is rather inconvenient when I want a word and I can't remember it. But anyway, I write stuff and I say stuff, and my assumption is, first of all, that I am being, if not inspired, at least guided by spirit. And the second assumption is that somebody somewhere out there needs to hear these words. So that's why, without necessarily understanding who it is who needs to hear them or for what reason, but that's why I do get on the internet every Friday night at midnight. And why I also write on my blog, which is mudtoesasquatch.com, to facilitate the dissemination, for want of a better word, of these things that I've been guided to say. And it's it doesn't happen like I feel, spirit gets into my head and says, say this, say that. It's not like that at all. And it's just whatever thoughts occur to me as something, okay, you should write about that, that kind of, the kind of feeling that I get, that's something I need to write about, that's something I need to talk about. And that's how, I guess, how things move. And sometimes things turn out to be dead ends, and I don't really get anywhere with them. It's always fun when that happens on the show, but in any case, I always ask you to bear with me. Sometimes the things that I say have some discernible connection to spirituality. Sometimes it's more like I'm talking about how my day went. But it's all good. It's all part of the experience that I'm gaining as a human being on this particular trip through life. And I do what I'm called upon to do. And that's, sometimes it's a little bit tough to explain, but so I just, the option I pick in such cases is to just not explain it. I should just choose not to explain, just roll with it. So with all of that said, let me start with something a bit more on the spiritual side tonight before I descend into, I am going to talk about Nelson Mandela. Okay, so I know that's sort of required this week, and I'm not knocking that at all. But I do want to, I will say a few words about Nelson Mandela, so that's my sort of mid-episode tease. I'm going to come back to that. What I'm going to start off talking about is, we'll start off a little bit of death and dying this evening. I had a relative, a cousin of mine, who passed away this week. It was not unexpected. He had cancer, had been fighting it for a number of years, and had been declining for the past several months, so it was not a huge surprise when I had a phone call from my mother saying that he had passed away. The funeral is tomorrow, and I have been very fortunate in my life. I am 48 years old, and this will only be the third full-fledged funeral that I have ever attended. I've attended a number of calling hours, but as far as going to graveside services, actually that may not even happen. I'm not sure. We may not actually go to the graveside services. It depends on how things work out, but it's funny to see, it's an awkward, very awkward situation, at least for me, because he was a relative, and there is a connection there, but wasn't someone I was terribly close to, and it's difficult because I have other cousins who I am much more close to, and who the idea, you know, if they were to pass away, it would be, you know, of course, I'm going to go, you know, I'll cancel work, I'll do whatever I have to do to get to their services. And then there are other people who have precisely the same familial relationship, and it's like, well, I'll go because I feel like I ought to go. So I am feeling... I'm feeling some guilt this evening because I think I may be going to this thing just because I feel like I need to. And that may actually be a valid reason. Maybe there's some sort of amends to be made here. Maybe this is a relationship that I should have spent more time on. This is someone I should have taken the time to get to know better. You know, the last funeral I went to was my, I have another cousin, his partner died in a car wreck. And I went to his funeral, you know, mostly for the benefit of my cousin, who I am very close to. We grew up together. He's very much like an older brother to me. And I found myself, you know, as I heard people at the services speaking about him, about the partner, the one who had passed away, found myself, you know, feeling that same sense of guilt that I could have. I think there was a sense of jealousy that in some ways he had taken my cousin away from me, you know, the same way you'd feel about any sort of relationship at some point. You say, oh, I'm not getting, you know, the kind of time I used to get with this person because now all of a sudden they're in this relationship that's very important to them. And then, you know, the person that they're in the relationship with, it becomes sort of a villain in that sense. That's, you took him away from me. And I acknowledge that feeling existed and that it kept me from knowing him in the way I may have. And I feel some regret towards that. And although in this case, that, you know, coming up tomorrow, that the reasons are entirely different. The situation is entirely different. But I feel myself experiencing that same twinge of regret. And it's not the kind of thing where I said, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, actually, there was an element of that because, as I said, he's been fighting this cancer for quite a while, and often he would be staying at the cancer hospital that's on the college campus near where I live. And, you know, I might have taken the trouble to go to see him, and I never did. My excuse being I never knew exactly when he was there or when he wasn't, but it would have been easy enough for me to find out. I just never took the trouble, and I guess that's what I'm feeling bad about more than anything else. So today I'm I'm thinking about connections with people, connections that I might, obviously the words that are coming to me are like, that I might work on, that I might, people that I might work with, people who might have something to offer to me, that I might have something to offer to them, and that sort of the development of that relationship goes by the wayside because I'm just not looking in that direction for whatever reason. So I guess in that sense, my prayer would be that my eyes be opened and that my willfulness be set aside, my willfulness in the sense of staying focused on whatever it is that I'm focused on and that it's keeping me from seeing what's going on around me. So I guess I pray for relief from willfulness and for my eyes to be opened to those relationships around me that it would be good for me to cultivate, and that it would be necessary for me to cultivate before those people are gone, because people can be gone in a wink of an eye, and one hates to walk around with that in one's head, but it is a fact. It's something that as people living mortal lives, we have to deal with. I know if we enter into that belief that souls live forever and return to this plane or to other planes, and that the ideas of soul families, that certain souls tend to stay together, and there is some logic to that, but I don't know that to be true. It may very well be that every contact I make on as part of this existence, it will be the only time I'm ever in contact with that soul again. So I need to be on the lookout for who are the people who I need to be talking to. Maybe it's everybody. I don't know. Or maybe they're just certain people who have messages for me or that I have messages for them. So my prayer today is that my eyes will be opened to those possibilities and to those people, and that my fixation on everyday trivia will not get in the way of that. So I've spoken to all my relations. Now, so where do I go from there? See, that's the kind of momentous thing that should have been saved for the end of the show. I don't know. See, for the umpteenth time in a row, I have made absolutely no effort to plan this show at all, because I found it never works anyway. I've taken the time in the past to sit down with a yellow legal pad and write down things I might talk about and try and put them in some sort of order and try and link them together, and then the show comes and I don't even look at the piece of paper. I just start talking. And that really does seem to be the way the show works the best. I don't know if this week's show is the best example of that, but the Mud Tub Midnight show is really very much an exercise in stream of consciousness. I may come in with just the very vaguest idea of things that I might want to mention, but once the Blog Talk Radio lady, says Blog Talk Radio, and the next 30 minutes is basically just led to a talking, whatever comes into his head. That's how it works, for better or for worse. And thank God it's only half an hour. Anyway, because Iggy does an hour, sometimes longer. You may have heard Iggy's show also on the same channel, with Insights channel of blogtalkradio.com. Iggy does a show called Intuitive Readings or Intuitive, what it was, I don't know what it's called, but it's on Mondays at 6. And it's Iggy Garcia and Rosa Burnham, recently married, so the name is different now. And they do readings for people. You can call in and do readings for you. And you can also listen to Jenny Seek on Tuesdays at 7, and she usually has some fun guests come on, and Jenny is a tremendous, lovely person whom I don't get to see enough. She was at Garcia's last weekend, and I was someplace else and couldn't come see her, unfortunately. I shed a tear. Anyway, please, you know, visit those other destinations or with Insights Radio if you care to. Also, you can visit, I already mentioned my website, mudtoesasquatch.com, where my blog resides. And this week, I was talking about a different kind of mortality, I guess. I was talking about my car, which I ended up having to retire. Went to the car dealer as a trade-in for a car that my brother was purchasing, and it's probably going straight to the junkyard. But I talked more, not so much about that. I was sort of challenged by a friend of mine to write about the car and, you know, what it meant to me, because I said on a regular Facebook post that I was feeling some emotions about it. And I realized that I guess whatever warmth I felt toward that machine was probably a reaction to the fact that it was once my father's machine and one that he cared a great deal about. He bought this car after my younger brother left for college, and the house was empty, and he could finally have a vehicle that neither one of us was going to destroy. And, of course, we ended up destroying it anyway. When my brother went to graduate school, he needed a vehicle, and Dad gave up that Buick to him, and it didn't fare well at the graduate school. Later on, I became the custodian of it, and didn't fare much better with me. But it always had that same feeling. I was always very comfortable behind the wheel of it and felt that connection with my father as if he was with me, because of all the sort of love and care, not sort of, the love and care that he had put into that vehicle and regard, and how important it was to him to have that vehicle and to take care of it. And so I wrote that up in my blog, and I got a comment from the gentleman who had challenged me to write it, saying that he had tears in his eyes as he read it. I'm going to presume he was serious when he said that. It's always nice to compliment someone's writing. It's, I think, from a personal standpoint, it's probably one of the reasons I do it. Certainly one of the reasons I want people to see the writing is I want them to tell me how great it is. Or to tell me that you hated it. I mean, that's certainly ego-deflating, but also important. So if you want, you can leave comments on the blog, and I do read them, and I will post them. I have to, I get to approve, I get to look at all the blog posts, all the posts, the comments posted to my blog, and approve which ones then appear on the website, which ones disappear. I get a phenomenal amount of spam on that website, so sometimes I miss things that people did post. But if, provided I do see it, I do post it, whether it's positive or negative, as long as you don't say something, you know, really ridiculous, you know, like racist or something like that. So I do like it if you go there and you can read the whole blog that made the dude cry, and to let me know what you think of it. And if you also want to ever say anything to me about my rambling radio shows and maybe to suggest something I might do differently or something I might talk about, you can leave that sort of comment on my Facebook page, which is Mudtoe Sasquatch. I have a Gmail as well, mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. And I've revived my Twitter account. I don't know why. I don't have any followers. None of my posts ever gets, you know, seen by anybody, but I don't know, maybe if a couple of fans from the radio show were to show up on a Twitter feed, maybe there's something more that I could do with it. You know, people certainly do seem to like the old Twitter, so I just never been able to make the Twitter work for me for whatever reason. It just seemed that it was all about people waving their hands over their heads and shouting me 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 me, and that's just not my not my instinct to act that way. Okay, so we did the spiritual part of the show. We did the shameless self-promotion. So I guess we can move on to Nelson Mandela, who passed away this week. at the age of 95. So one might say it's sad that he passed away, and one might others say that he's probably ready. I'd like to say that at 95 I would probably be ready, but I don't know that for a fact. So I would ask any spirit who might be listening, or the big spirit or whatever, to not take what I just said as a request. So think about your words to say about Nelson Mandela, because everyone sort of feels obligated, I think, to say something about him. And maybe they should be. Again, as I said earlier, I'm not going to knock that. I mean, obviously he is very important. Otherwise, we wouldn't be paying so much attention. I think it's of course, interesting and highly unusual for an American, an icon, I'll say an icon of Americans, someone who is idolized by Americans and who is not himself an American. Americans tend to ignore things that come from outside of our country, unless it's like a rock band or something. So I think that the fact that he made such an impression on us is reflective of our sort of visceral reaction to what we saw happening in South Africa, through the 60s and the 70s, the brutality of it, and maybe the mortality, maybe the numbers of people who died weren't real high, but the way they died was so. It happened with such naked brutality, with such blatant disregard for the sanctity of life. A group of people just deciding that their lives and their privilege was so important that it justified the taking of people's lives and the alteration of people's lives done in such an inhuman fashion, even more than less than, I was going to say less than human, but I think a better word is inhuman. There's nothing human about what happened in Soweto and what happened in so many other places in South Africa all through those years. And I remember, being a child in school and hearing about those things, and then it went on as I became a teenager and a young adult. And I remember Whitney Houston being in trouble because she sang at a benefit for Mandela, and Coca-Cola was one of her sponsors, and they prevailed on her to have a curtain put over the big portrait of Mandela that was in the back of the stage while she performed, so that his face wouldn't be seen in any sort of photographs with her. And the debate that ensued from that, and there were some insights into the character of our sort of pop culture driven society, that people were starting to look at that situation and say, maybe we need to look at our stuff as well as obviously the stuff that's going on in South Africa is crazy, but we've got some pretty crazy stuff of our own going on here. And that was a time when people wouldn't jump down your throat. A few people would, but it wasn't considered un-American necessarily to have those kind of thoughts and to have that kind of discussion. And I think now it is. I think if something like Soweto, it is happening. I was going to say if something like Soweto were happening today, it's happening all the time. When those things happen, they don't inspire that kind of introspection, the kind that I think a lot of people were engaging in here in the 70s and 80s. What would happen would be conservative people would be blaming Obama, and Democrats would be blaming the Republicans. Christians would be blaming Jews, and Jews would be blaming Muslims or somebody else. It would be a matter of it wouldn't be a matter of thinking about or being inspired to think about, even if we didn't make a connection between what happened in our culture and what happened in South Africa. And there is a very clear connection. It's a connection of colonialism. It wasn't us, it was our ancestors from England who did it, but and from Germany, or from, excuse me, Holland, I think, yeah. Dutch settlers and American settlers who went to South Africa and pushed everybody else out of the way. That's then this idea that he came from, you know, being in prison, talking about Nelson Mandela again, coming from being in prison for all those years and then became the president of what was essentially a brand new country, and dealing with all of those problems, including the problem of mass immigration across his border, people who wanted to be, you know, who living in other countries in Africa who were, you know, just as oppressive as South Africa, if not more so, but just didn't have the the benefit of that strong connection with a European country like England, that the people were watching what happened in South Africa. There was a big problem for them for a while, may still be, refugees coming in from other countries in Africa. And then there was AIDS. South Africa is one of the worst places in the world for AIDS. And there was a campaign of the government to sort of suppress discussion of that, and which tells us that even the greatest among us are prone to make very grave mistakes from time to time. But I think the when the life of a man ends, whether it's a quote unquote, that's going to sound differently than what I mean. I mean, I don't think that any individual person is greater than any other, or more important in the sense of being more important than other persons. I think there are people who are touched by history in such a way that they become known. And whether it's that person, if it's Nelson Mandela, or it's my cousin, or my cousin's partner a couple of years ago, the death of that person means, the passing of a person in and of itself just means the passing of a person, and probably not much more than that. But in each case, there's also an inspiration of thoughts and ideas, and they might be grand ideas in the case of Nelson Mandela, or they might be more, I don't want to say limited, that's having sort of a negative connotation, and I don't want to say smaller, because that also has a negative connotation. Just a different scale. The thoughts that I get contemplating the passing of people who are close to me are on a different scale, on a different sort of plane than the thoughts inspired by someone who was very far away from me but well known to a lot of people. And I definitely had somewhere I was going with that, and I don't know why I lost it. Trying the whole death thing in the last 60 seconds of the show. Boy, did it blow by today. But it is definitely good to have something to talk about, and I did have that other than, I could have filled up the 30 minutes with the talks of how my work week went, and the fact that I do have a meeting scheduled now with a literary agent. I'm going to talk about actually publishing some of my writing, which will be great. Just going to have to save that for next week, because Nelson Mandela died and we just had to talk. So I do thank you for joining me. I have to get right to bed because the funeral is in the morning tomorrow. I'd never heard of having a morning funeral, but I have one to go to. And face that, and then begin the rest of my week. And I'll join you back here again next Friday at midnight on Mud Toe at Midnight. Again, I'm Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for listening, and have a very pleasant evening.